This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Neil Conan is away. We're going to spend most of this hour talking about Kent State, where 40 years ago tomorrow, the Ohio National Guard killed four student protesters. What do you remember? What did that event mean to you? You can email us now, talk@npr.org. But first we go to New York City, where over the weekend, someone drove an SUV packed with firecrackers, fertilizer, gasoline, and tanks of propane into Times Square. A street vendor noticed smoke coming out of the vehicle and flagged down a mounted policeman. And minutes later, police had cleared the busy intersection at West 45th Street. The SUV never detonated, but law enforcement officials say if it had, it would have caused injuries, casualties, and chaos. If you have a question about what happened, our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Joining us now is Arun Venugopal. He is a reporter at member station WNYC in New York City, and he joins us from there. It's good to have you with us.
Hi. Thanks, Rebecca.
So you were in Times Square this morning. Any signs of what went on over the weekend?
You know, it really seems like it's already become history fast. You would not know that anything happened on Saturday. It just is really returned to normal. Tourists are back there. It's kind of wet, so it's been a slow day tourism-wise, but still people are out there taking pictures. When you ask them about the event on Saturday, some of them seem to be so blasé about it already.
And there's not a heightened police presence or anything?
It's subtle. Yes, there are. I spoke to an officer there in Times Square, and he said that right now there are two officers per block instead of the regular one. But it's not the kind of a thing that it really sticks out. And if you didn't know that, you would not think that it's anything unusual about it.
So this happened on Saturday evening. Can you give us the sort of basics of what we know and where it went from there?
That's right. As far as the authorities are concerned, they think that the vehicle was left at this location right there in the heart of Times Square on 45th Street at 6:28. This is probably just when people are starting to head into dinner in case they're going to take in a Broadway show. So there will be a lot of people there. It was a warm day, a lot of tourists in town. It's really, if you're looking to cause trouble, it's a good time to do it, I guess you could say. But very soon after it was left, it was abandoned. Within a couple minutes, a couple people, vendors, there's a lot of these street vendors in the area. Many of them are actually Vietnam veterans. They get priority when it comes to being able to sell things in different parts of the city. They noticed that this car had been left there at a spot that it shouldn't have been, and that it was actually running. And so one of them went over. I met with one of them, and his name is Dwayne Jackson, and he just thought it was strange that this car was running. He looked inside, and he saw the keys were still in there. Thought it was odd, and just right around then, the mounted officer, he happened to come around. I think he had been alerted by the other vendor by the name of Lance Orton. And he came by, they started checking it out, and pretty soon smoke started coming out of the back. And that's when he and a few other officers started clearing the area. I think even one of the vendors who I spoke to, he said even then he didn't quite think it was anything unusual so much as just something was going wrong with the car. But then soon enough, they had the bomb squad out there. They had the robots who were, probing into this vehicle, shattering the windows and investigating. And they find the contents in the back of this vehicle. It's a Nissan Pathfinder. It's got this whole array of wires, clocks, three tanks of propane, a couple of tanks of gasoline, and then a gun locker, which they would later discover contained eight bags of fertilizer. As it turns out, the fertilizer was not explosive. Kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder exactly what this person was like in terms of how much they knew what they were doing or not. But nonetheless, with all the other contents of the car, the police say it could have been a pretty dangerous situation. It could have killed people. The explosion could have ripped open the car. It probably would have been short, they say, of, say, destroying a building. Nothing on the order of, say, Oklahoma City, though.
And what are the leads in terms of who parked that car, who the car belongs to, and who's claiming responsibility?
Well, various people are claiming responsibility. A couple groups are kind of latching on. You know, if you want to kind of claim responsibility, nothing like doing something in New York City associating yourself with the cause here, because it gets so much coverage, of course, and that kind of percolates to the rest of the world very fast. But the police are not really kind of showing their hand at this moment on that. They have tracked down the owner of the car, who they do not believe so far. They've not described him as a suspect. They think that it was perhaps the license plates that were on this car were stolen from a repair shop in Connecticut. They've been going through various leads. They've seen a photo, some video footage, I think, from a tourist who was in the area who caught a stranger, a white man in his 40s, who happened to be nearby, just down the block, around the corner from the car. They recorded him taking off his shirt. It was a dark shirt. He was taking it off. This is outside and revealing another shirt underneath. And they don't refer to him as a suspect, however. They call him a person of interest because they don't have any reason to believe yet that he was definitively somebody who parked that car. But they refer to it as furtive movements. So they're kind of, I guess, describing it somewhat subjectively. They think that he's definitely somebody they want to talk to, and they're trying to make it sound a little nicer and a little more welcoming. The mayor's been trying to bring him on in, but so far, no word on whether they've actually met this person or not.
And Arun, what's your sense as a New Yorker of whether, you know, what the street vendors noticed and their quick reaction and the amount of policemen paying attention and even the tourist training his video camera, is this sort of the heightened citizen vigilance in a post-9/11 New York, or is this just the usual hustle bustle of Times Square?
Well, I think, you know, the thing with post 9/11 is it's very easy for a lot of people. It has been, 8.5, almost 9 years now. And so my sense is it's not really sort of a permanent state of awareness so much as, yes, you do have a lot of people who happen to be recording things in the area. And when the police put the call out, then immediately people started submitting their videotape, and I'm sure other people are submitting information they have. So that's, I guess, part of the new media reality we live in now. As far as the vendors are concerned, you know, these might be the best informed people in that area because they are always there. They really know every block and sort of the rhythms of the street. A lot of them are military veterans, as I said, so they have a certain awareness. At least one gentleman I spoke to, he really thinks that that's part of their, I guess, the asset that they bring to the street. They're sort of the extended security apparatus of New York City, even if the police don't actually necessarily, you know, look at them in that way. But, you know, this is really the basic raw street intelligence that makes a difference, I think, in a lot of these situations, and it looks like in recent history, where it really comes down to some person on the street who sees something a little unusual. Even the police officers, they're kind of rotated in and out of the area as policy. And so it's really these vendors, I think, who are, you know, I guess, perhaps the best assets in the area.
Let's take a quick call from Brian in Boise, Idaho. Brian, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just kind of had a question, wanted to get a comment from your guest. The first thing I thought when I saw this story and saw the type of bomb that was inside of this vehicle, you know, a couple of propane tanks, some containers filled with gasoline, and a couple of clocks, and then that combined with the fact that it didn't go off, or, you know, apparently either failed or wasn't concealed very well, it seemed like it was, you know, not a full-blown terrorist attempt. It seemed kind of juvenile and thrown together compared with the, extremely organized terrorist attacks we see, you know, internationally, and obviously 9/11. So I didn't know if your guest had a comment on that as far as, you know, how you qualify it against, you know, real full-blown terrorist threats.
Brian, thanks for your call.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not in a position to really say to what extent. I mean, I definitely think the word that's been thrown around by Mayor Bloomberg here in New York, as well as others, is amateurish. Of course, that should be, I suppose, taken with a grain of salt, considering that they are also describing that could have been very dangerous, and that I think Police Commissioner Ray Kelly here of the NYPD said that, you know, it was a workable bomb. So it is very odd. I think there have been some experts who think that it definitely displays a level of sort of a guy working on his own or in a very small level. But I think that federal officials are still really kind of, keeping their options open at this point. So probably still a lot left that, you know, needs to be learned.
So they've tracked down the owner of the car, but they're not calling him a suspect. They've got this interesting guy on camera. but they're not calling him a suspect. What are the police telling you about where this goes?
They're not saying a whole lot right now. They are what they're doing right now. One of the major tasks is reviewing hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage from the many city cameras. The NYPD has a whole array of cameras throughout the whole the area in Midtown Manhattan. And in downtown Lower Manhattan, there is a more sophisticated apparatus, very high tech. It's called the Ring of Steel. In terms of what they're working towards is thousands of cameras down there, and then eventually in Midtown Manhattan, that would be more than just cameras gathering video footage, but they would almost have intelligence that they could actually sort of automatically assess whether, for instance, a car has been around the block a couple times, and they could find, they could by isolating the license plate, the computer, I suppose, would determine that something's fishy. So that's the kind of technology they're talking about. The funding hasn't completely come through. It's behind schedule. It might be some time before that happens. And overall, right now, with this latest incident, the city, federal officials here, Senator Schumer, they're trying to push the government and the Obama administration to start really coming forward and helping deliver more federal funding for these kinds of things. But right now, the NYPD is searching through all this footage and then, of course, through scores of other cameras, private buildings in the area, just companies who happen to operate in Midtown Manhattan, to see whether they can sort of assemble the through line of this car coming from wherever it did into the city and then arriving at this particular point and hopefully establishing who the individual was, maybe getting a good shot of him on one of those shots.
Arun Venugopal is a reporter for WNYC, our member station in New York City. He joined us from a studio there. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, 40 years after National Guard troops opened fire on unarmed student protesters, what do you remember about Kent State? What do those events mean to you? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or you can send us an email. The address is talk@npr.org. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.